You have to thank everyone for coming.
Are there any more Marmar Kamas?
I left them on the Bima. If you can, get a hold of that. Rosh Hashanah Lilonos is coming around. According to Beit Shammai, we've already passed Rosh Hashanah Lilonos. The Mishnah records his Shita at the very beginning of Masechta Rosh Hashanah, which is the first source on page 1, as you'll see. Be'echad b'shvat Rosh Hashanah Li'ilon k'divrei Beit Shammai b'sil omer b'chamisha sarbo. And the first question that you'd ask yourself is, how do we paskin in this machlok? So what would be your gut response? What would be your assumption? I mean, in general, who do we paskin like in a machlokas? What do you say? We paskin like Beis Hillel. Here, again, I don't know, we're going to have to change some songs about Tu B'Shvat, but I'm not sure that we paskin like Beis Hillel. I'm not sure at all. Take a look at the Gemara, the Brisa of Rabbi Akiva. This is the fifth source on your page, on page 1. Hey, Tana Rabbanan. Maisa b'Rabbi Akiva shalikeit esrog b'echad b'shvat. So according to Beis Hillel, we're not yet up to Rosh Hashanah, but according to Beis Hillel, we've already passed Rosh Hashanah. So this esrog, what year does it belong to? Does it belong to last year? Well, that would be true according to whom? According to Beis Hillel, or does it belong to the new year according to Beit Shammai? So what did Rabbi Akiva do, to our surprise? Nahad bo shnei isurim. Echad kedivrei Beit Shammai, v'echad kedivrei Beis Hillel. This perhaps is the source for all chumras in Halacha, this brisa. Because what did Rabbi Akiva do? He was machmir from both. What Rashi explains, that this was the second year going into the third year. In the second year, like the first year, we have a chiyuv of Maiser Sheni. In the third year, Maiser Ani replaces Maiser Sheni. The question is, where does this esrog belong? Does it belong to the second year? Which would make sense according to whom again? Beis Hillel, right? Because it's not yet Tu B'Shvat. And therefore the chiyuv Maiser would be what? Maiser Sheni, or does it belong to the third year, like Beis Shammai, because we've already passed Rosh Hashanah, and therefore the Chiyuv would be Maiser Ani. So what did Rabbi Akiva do? Right, he was Mafresh both. It means he gave 1/10 to the Levi. That's Maiser Rishon. That's true for all years, whether it's the second year or the third year. It's true for all 6 years of the Shemitah cycle, up to Shemitah. So that for sure. So he gave 10% to the Levi. In addition to that, he was machmir for the shita of Beis Hillel, in which case he's in the second year, and he has to give Maiser Sheni, so he gave another Maiser. What do we do with Maiser Sheni? We take it to Yerushalayim. Then he was mafresh a third tenth of his produce, and he gave it to the Aniyah, because he was machmir kishitas Beit Shammai, that we've already entered into the third year. By the way, when we talk about Aleph Shvat or Tu B'Shvat, what's the critical moment that ushers in the new year? Shkia, correct? In other words, the whole difference here between whether we're in last year, that's Maiser Sheni in the second year, or we're in the new year, Maiser Ani, the third year, is in that 1 minute of Shkia. But Rabbi Akiva actually took the esrog off the tree. It's interesting. I don't know why they don't sell in Yerushalayim Rabbi Akiva's esrogim. I mean, this one's esrogim, that esrogim. But if we had a zan from Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Akiva would take his esrog. In this case, it would be mafresh 30% he gave away. You know, that's a big chunk. We complain when U.S. taxes reach that kind of a percentage point. Okay, so the reason I'm quoting to you this brisa of Rabbi Akiva is to show you that what? Who we paskin by? Right, Rabbi Akiva's vacillating. He wants to cover all his bases. You know, usually we say Beit Shammai b'makom Beis Hillel in a Mishnah. You know, we don't even consider. Okay, that's number one. But what I want to discuss with you tonight, And I discussed this last year on Tu B'Shvat, right before Tu B'Shvat in Canada. So if anybody wants to see that shiur, I'm going to mean the tonight's shiur is a different shiur, but if you want to hear that shiur, then you could go on to YU Online. If you're interested, just press Moadim when you get to my page, and you'll see Tu B'Shvat. So that's for those who are interested in seeing two halves of a whole. But tonight's shiur will stand independent, so don't worry. And again, I want to thank you for coming. And I, if you get hungry, let me know. But I mean, at 9 o'clock, we're going to have a big Suda, I think. Okay. I don't know whether we're celebrating or we're sad. That I don't know. But so what I wanted to call your attention to is the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi, you'll see on page 2 of Yomar Makomos. And it's number Yeralf. The Yerushalmi in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, in the first perek, addresses the fundamental question of what Rosh Hashanah Lilanos is all about. What was Shvat all about? I mean, we know that Rosh Hashanah is when? When is Rosh Hashanah? Before you see this Mishnah of Shvat. Tishrei is Aleph Tishrei. So where does Rosh Hashanah in Zeroyim come to be mechadish this halacha of Shvat? And not only that, it's not halacha in Zeroyim really, it's halacha in one fragment of Zeroyim. Which fragment of Zeroyim? Peres HaElon, right? It doesn't apply to Zeroyim of a general sense. It doesn't apply to Tvua, the five species of grains. It doesn't apply to kidneys. It doesn't apply to Yerokos. Every kind of vegetation has the old, well-trodden path of Aleph Tishrei. The only new halach of Rosh Hashanah is Peiros Eilon, and that's Shvat. So the Yerushalmi wants to come to grips with this. Where does Shvat come from? You know, it would have been nice had the Yerushalmi said Minani Mili and quoted a pasuk in Chumash. But I challenge you to find a pasuk in Chumash that mentions Shvat. It's not there. So the Yerushalmi offers two opinions. First, it gives a whole long list of names of Amoraim. And it doesn't tell us who holds what, but let's say that there's Rav Elah on one side and Rav Elazar b'shem Rav Hoshea on the other side. But we don't know who holds what, but here are the two possibilities. Chad Omar, according to one opinion, Kvar Yatsu Rov Gishmei Shanakula Ukvar Ruba Shel Tkufa Mibachutz. It means that most of the rains of the winter season have fallen. Now you have to determine, you're looking at the calendar and you're pointing your finger at one particular date and you're saying that on that date, or by that date, most of the rains, let's say 51% of the rains of the rainy season of that kufa have fallen where? Rabosai. In Eretz Yisrael. So that's first of all. Okay. Is anybody here from Argentina? We'll talk about Argentina later if we get a chance. There was an interesting shaila you'll see on page 3 of Yomar Makomos from the Har Tzvi about Argentina. So maybe we'll get back to that later. It's a shame. That's one opinion. Then the Yerushalmi quotes a second opinion. Here we have it in the name of Churna. Do you see that? But it might be Chad Omar became Churna. I don't know. But anyway, in any event, the second opinion, Omar, Ad kan hein chayim mimei hashana sha'ovra, mikan v'elech hein chayim mimei hashana haba'a. What's the difference between the first opinion and the second opinion? Again, let's just summarize. According to the first opinion in the Yerushalmi, and this, by the way, this first opinion is reflected in the Bavli as well, but the second opinion does not appear in the Bavli. And we'll see, if you take a look at number Vav, which is back on page 1, just again, we're holding in the Yerushalmi, but just take a quick peek back at the Bavli, on Daf Yudalid, it says, B'echad b'shvat Rosh Hashanah le'ilah ma'itayma, Omer Rav Elazar, Omer Rav Hoshea. Interesting, if we accept that Girsa, then it's Rav Elah who is the author in the Yerushalmi of the second opinion, Hoel v'yotzu rov gishmei shana va'adayin rov tkufa mibachutz. So Bli Neder will mention the Rashi. The Rashi on that sugya is very powerful, very fundamental. But in any event, we see the first opinion, Yerushalmi, is right up front in the Bavli. The Bavli doesn't offer a second opinion. What's the Yerushalmi second opinion? And then we want to ask, how is it radically different than the first? And the answer is that according to the Yerushalmi second opinion, up until Shvat, Chaim Mimei Shana Shavra. How would you translate those words? Mikan V'Elechem Chaim Mimei Shana Abba. Anybody? Just simple pshat. I'm not asking for... What does that mean? That up until Shvat they live from the waters the previous year. What does that mean, the previous year?
Before Tishrei.
Exactly, before Tishrei. So in other words, what we're asking is, which rains are responsible for the growth of these fruits? And the answer is, it depends. We'll look at the fruits in Shvat. Again, we'll see that Rashi in the Bavli is going to tell us what we see in Shvat. Okay, what are we looking at? The fruits in Eretz Yisrael don't grow in Shvat. But what we look at is something called Chanotah, as we'll see in Rashi. And if the Chanotah takes place, is achieved before Shvat, then we know that which rains fell and were seeped into the ground that were responsible for this particular fruit to eventually down the line grow and produce. Answer is last year's rains. If on the other hand it reaches Chanotah post Shvat, then there weren't enough rains from last year in order to justify, to explain how this fruit was produced on the tree, and therefore the fruit belongs to the new year. Now again, what do we mean when we say last year's rains, and what do we mean when we say this year's rains?
Pre-Tishrei and
post-Tishrei. Correct, pre-Tishrei and post-Tishrei. So everything according to the second day in the Yerushalmi depends upon Tishrei. Just that, you know, the rains that fell from last year, meaning before Tishrei, haven't yet made its impact, their impact. That we're going to only see last year's rains, meaning before Tishrei's rains, we're going to see the impact of those rains only with Chanotah that comes months later. So you've got Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Teves. So you've got four full months until the rains have saturated the ground, and now the fruit is ready to be produced. So which rains are responsible for this fruit? Which we're going to see later on, much later on. They won't grow until the spring. But which rains were responsible if it reaches Chanotah before Shvat? Last year's rains. Speak up. Last year's rains. Okay? But if, on the other hand, the fruit does not reach Chanotah before Shvat, when does it reach Chanotah? After Shvat? Then we know that there weren't enough rains to produce this fruit from last year's rains. Which rains were responsible
this year,
meaning what? What month when you say this year? Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Teves, and according to Beis Hillel, half of Shvat. So you've got 4.5 months according to Beis Hillel, 4 months according to Beis Shammai of rains, and those rains are capable of producing this fruit. And how do we know this? How do I know that the new rains of the new year were able and capable of producing this fruit? Because when did the fruit reach Chanotah?
After
Shvat. If the Chanotah process could not take place before Shvat, had the Chanotah taken place before Shvat, then we could attribute the produce to what?
Last.
To last year's rains. But now that this future fruit only reached Chanotah after Shvat, meaning it needed the rains of this year to grow, then it belongs to this year. So let's look at Rashi in the Bavli, just to clarify this a little bit better. This is on page 1, number Zion. And Rashi says, what does the Gemara mean? Hoel v'yotzu rov gishmei shana. I underline it for you. Shekvar avar rov yimosak shomin. Shuzman revia. Now here the key words. The Ola Hasraf Be'ilonos, what happens in Shvat? What's the magic of Shvat? We're now revealing the magic of Shvat. The Ola Hasraf Be'ilonos, what does that mean, Hasraf? What do you say? The sap, the moisture, right? The moisture is in the Ilonos, somewhere in the roots of the tree, and that sap or that moisture is capable of setting into motion a process of the nimtzu haperos chontimeata. So we now have enough rains that fell between Tishrei and Shvat, correct? And now the peros begin to reach the stage of chanotah. So according to Rashi, chanotah is a very complicated concept, but what is chanotah? Or what is it not, at least? Is it, can I identify chanotah with something that I see on the tree? No. I don't see anything on the tree. Chanotah is something that takes place below the surface. That's where the rains are saturated and absorbed, such that now the tree could produce. Ah! What's the difference between the two opinions of Yushal? Can you tell me? I'm not asking for an afkimina lemaisa. What I'm asking for is conceptually, what is the difference between the two? And keep in mind that the first opinion of the Yushalmi mentions nothing about Aleph Tishrei. It purely talks about the meteorological or agricultural situation in the nature of the world of the Eretz Yisrael Dika world at that period of time. It's only in the second opinion that we mention Aleph Tishrei. So what's the difference?
One looks at when the chanata takes place, and one looks at where the chanata came from.
Okay, but I'm going to ask you the following question. When is Rosh Hashanah Lilonos? It's Machlekes. So according to the first day, which is reflecting in the Bavli, it's the only day in the Bavli. When is Rosh Hashanah Lilonos? Shvat. According to the second day in Yushalmi, when is Rosh Hashanah Lilonos? Aleph Tishrei. It's the old Rosh Hashanah. This whole concept that there's a new Rosh Hashanah with regard to Peiros Ha'ilon is incorrect according to the second day in Yushalmi. I deny it. It doesn't exist. Again, Tu B'Shvat Higia Chag Lilonot is not true. What is the function of Shvat?
Indicates,
that's a great word. Can you conceptualize that word indicates in the Lomdish Sprach? I know you're used to the English dictionary, right? But where I come from, we're not interested.
It's a Gilui.
Excellent. It's a Gilui Milsa. Shvat, according to the Yushalmi in second opinion, is a Gilui Milsa. It's nothing. There's nothing inherently significant about Shvat. We're using Shvat to answer one question. Which rains are responsible? Which kshamim are responsible for this fruit? Is it last year? What does that mean, last year? Before Aleph Tishrei? Or is it this year, meaning after Aleph Tishrei? So it's the same old Rosh Hashanah. I'll give you an example just to clarify the concept. In Zeroyim, I love talking about Zeroyim because I never get a chance to do it. And the Rav Zichron Levracha, my Rebbe, was any opportunity he had to learn Zeroyim, to teach Zeroyim. I remember one year, we had a few months, so he decided to learn Challah, you know, and Peah. You know, he has Shtikl Torah on Peah. The Briskis love Zeroyim. They adore it. Zeroyim is purely conceptual. You know. If I would ask you about Yerokos, vegetables, would you be willing to say that Yerokos, like Peiros Ha'ilon, have a stored up water under the ground that produces the vegetable? The answer is a flat no. That's not how Yerokos works. Yerokos grow as the rain falls. It's a quid pro quo. It's a process. It's not like Peiros Ha'ilon, where we have a concept of chanota, where there's a storage of rain that creates, I call it, a potential, and now, based on that storage of rain, the Ilon can produce its tree. That's not how Yerokos work. Yurakos, every single second, the rainwater, as it falls, is generating growth. Therefore, there is no concept of chanota with regard to yurakos. For example, in Paris, England, if I want to know whether or not this particular fruit, this, let's call it Rabbi Kiva's Esri, does Rabbi Kiva Esri belong to last year, the second year of the Shemitah cycle, or to this year, the third year of the Shemitah cycle? What's going to determine that? Again, whether it's Aleph Shvat or Tu B'Shvat, I'm not interested right now, right? That's Rabbi Akiva's vacillating back and forth. But what ultimately, when I look at the fruit, so to speak, is going to determine whether it belongs to last year or this year? What's the answer? Chanota. Chanota is your answer. Do you understand what I'm saying? Words, you look at Zeruim and you identify whether it belongs to last year or this year based on the fact that those Zeruim reached a certain level of productivity, of development, of growth. With regard to Peros HaIlon, we look at Chanota. With regard to grains, for example, anybody know what the magic word in grains is? What's the concept that determines whether these grains belong to last year or this year? Havas Shlish. That's called Havas Shlish. So if I see that the barley or the wheat or the oats or the rye, they've already reached Havas Shlish today, right? Today meaning before Tishrei, then it belongs to last year. Let's call it the second year. And then I'm Afrish Meiser Sheni. If on the other end it reached Havas Shlish post, let's say, Shkia with Rosh Hashanah, Shkia of Aleph Tishrei, then it belongs to the new year, which is the third year, and instead of Meiser Sheni, I give what? Meiser Ani. Imagine, I can have two stalks of barley growing one next to the other. And I cut them down simultaneously, right, with the sickle, and I want to be mafresh maser from one onto the other. I can't do it. Why? Because one of those grains reached Havashlish before Aleph Tishrei, before Shkia. The other reached Havashlish after Shkia. So one belongs to last year's Meiser, and the other belongs to this year's Meiser. I can't be mafresh one year onto the other. Even Meiser Rishon for the Levi, I can't be mafresh one year to the other. Because Ema Frish Mishon Achas Al Chaverta. With regard to Yurakos, what's the parallel to Chanota in Peres HaIlon, Havashlish in Dagon or in Kidneys? What's the criterion? Lakita. What does Lakita mean? The moment I pluck the Yerek out. Because when I cut the Yerek, when I detach it, I pull out the carrot from the ground, at that moment I determine what year it belongs to. In other words, if I pull it out before Rosh Hashanah, before Aleph Tishrei, belongs to last year. If I pull it out after, Aleph Tishrei belongs to this year. Why? Because a Yerek is constantly growing through the rainwaters that come out. So there's no point in which I can freeze it and say, oh, that's where the Yerek belongs. No, I have to wait till Lakita itself. So the Turiyevan, that's my favorite sefer on Zeruim, the Turiyevan of Rosh Hashanah. And this you'll see on page 2. And I, again, it's a long Turi Evan. Who, by the way, authored the Turi Evan? You know? So he's more famous for a different sefer. Shagasari, excellent. Shagasari. He asks three kashas on the Yerushalmi. He says he doesn't understand the Yerushalmi. First of all, according to the Yerushalmi, if Tu B'Shvat or Aleph Shvat, according to Beishamai, is only a Gili Milsa, what does the Mishnah mean when it says, the opening Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, which is your first source, it says, V'yechad B'Shvat, Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon. Or Tu B'Shvat according to Beis Hillel. That's not fair. It's not true. It's a misnomer to call Shvat Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon. Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon is the same as Rosh Hashanah Lekidius, Litvua, Learakis. It's all Aleph Tishrei. The only thing that, in the case of Peres HaIlon, because of the unique nature of the way they grow, we have to wait until Shvat in order to determine whether they belong to Aleph Tishrei, pre-Aleph Tishrei or post-Aleph Tishrei. Because the rainwater doesn't, not like in Yerukos where the rainwater produces the growth, here in the case of Ilonos, the rainwater gets stored up until the Srafa Ilon creates a potential of Chanota, and only when we get to the stage of Chanota can we determine whether it's last year's rains before or Aleph Tishrei or after. So what's the meaning, says the Tur Yevin, of the Mishnah calling it Rosh Hashanah Lilonos? That's his first question. His second question is with regard to Esrog. The Gemara says that Esrog is different than all other Peiros at Ilon, not just because we use it on Sukkot. But Esrog is different in the way it grows. Whereas every other fruit besides Esrog has a storehouse of water that reaches the stage of Chanota, Esrog is exactly identical to Yerukos. And Esrog will grow daily as the rains fall. In fact, that's why it's very difficult to grow Esrog, because they need an awful lot of rainwater. And in Eretz Yisrael, that's not so common, unfortunately. So you have to find a very wet climate or do a lot of irrigation to produce an Esrog. So therefore, what's going to determine the year of the Esrog? Let's go back to Rabbi Akiva, for example. What did Rabbi Akiva, when he vacillated with Allah, it's like Beisilvei Shammai, with the
Lakita.
Lakita. So the Tur Yevin says, if an Esrog goes Basel Lakita, because it's Gadil al Rov Mayim, meaning it's not, Chanot is inapplicable. It's totally irrelevant to an Esrog. So then, what should be the determining factor, what determining date as far as the Shnasa Esrog? Meaning, if I don't know whether this Esrog belongs to last year, the second year of the Shemitah cycle, and Tzchayv Maiser Sheni, or belongs to this year, the third year of the Shemitah cycle, Tzchayv Maiser Ani. So when I pluck the Esrog, what question should I ask myself? When did I pluck the Esrog? What's today's date? I just plucked the Esrog right now. Is it before Aleph Tishrei? Is it after Aleph Tishrei? But that's not so. Rabbi Akiva was vacillating whether Allah is like Beis Hillel or like Beis Shammai, whether Tu Bishvat or Aleph Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. Meaning, Rabbi Akiva applied the Allah of Rosh Hashanah Lilanos to an Esrog, says the Tur Yevin, it makes no sense. Because all other Peiros of Ilon, I can understand why Shvat is relevant, because that's going to be your Gilui Milsa, because there's a concept of Chanota with regard to all Peiros of Ilon. So I have to see whether the 4.5 months rain post Rosh Hashanah produced this orange or this apple, or the pre-Rosh Hashanah rains produce this orange or this apple. But in the case of Esrog, it's every single moment of rainwater that produces the Esrog, and the growth of the Esrog puts it into the category of Yerukos, and therefore there's no din of Chanota in Esrog. Rather, the din is what? Lakita. If the din is Lakita, then we should go back to the din of Aleph Tishrei. So what's Rabbi Akiva vacillating about with regard to this Esrog that he plucked between, like in now? Like if somebody, according to Rabbi Akiva, if you were in Eretz Yisrael today, and you were to pluck your Esrog off the tree, you would have this exact problem, because we're in that Tkufa now. Right? When is Tu B'Shvat? Is Tuesday?
Wednesday?
So we're in that period of time now of Beis Shammai has this Esrog in the new year, and Beis Hillel still has in the old year. We're in that twilight zone. So the question is, who cares about Shvat, says the Tur Yevin. And then there's a third kasha. The third kasha is a beautiful kasha, but you won't find it in the Tur Yevin. And in order to appreciate this kasha, I want you to take a look at the Yerushalmi on page 3 of Yomar, on page 2 of Yomar Makom.
So the Tur Yevin is asking Rabbi Akiva, why did you choose the one exception to the rule?
No, that since you, Rabbi Akiva, are operating with the premise, and that's La Halacha, nobody argues with this, that Esrog is Gadol al Rov Mayim, meaning that the Koveh of the Shnasa Esrog is Lakita, like any Yerek, Therefore, the concept of Shvat is totally meaningless. And the determining day for the year of the Esro should be Aleph Tishrei. So why is Rabbi Akiva vacillating back and forth between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai, Aleph Shvat or Tu B'Shvat? It's totally irrelevant. You plucked it in the new year, belongs to the new year. We're already in the third year of the Shemitah cycle, so you have Maaser Ani. What was the tzad in Rabbi Akiva, in the case of Esrog, to be Mafresh Maaser Sheni, based on Aleph Shvat? The whole mechanism of Shvat is totally inapplicable. It's illogical to apply it to the case of an Esrog. Because we're all trying to figure out which one has produced the Esrog. The answer is, like any Yerek, Esrog is Gadol Al Rov Mayim, the Mayim that comes down now. And the third question we want to ask, and this I discussed with Rabbi Ilson when we learned a little bit of Shviz. Take a look, if you will, on page 2, the Yerushalmi number Yud Beis. The Yerushalmi in Rosh Hashanah actually argues in favor of Beis Shammai against Beis Hillel. And that really reveals the nature of the machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. So in order to appreciate the argument of the Yerushalmi in favor of Beis Shammai and against Beis Hillel, we have to set up a chain of equations. First of all, we have an equation, Miket Sheva Shanim Tasa Shmita, between Rosh Hashanah Lishanim, which is Aleph Tishrei, the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah Lishmita, that what kicks off the Shmita year? Aleph Tishrei. Then we have an equation between Rosh Hashanah Lishmita and Yovel. What kicks off the Yovel year? So since the Torah says, V'safarta l'cha sheva shabos shonim, etc., etc., until 7 times 7 you get to Yovel. So just like Rosh Hashanah for Shemitah is Aleph Tishrei, so too Rosh Hashanah for Yovel is Aleph Tishrei. Hatevun is the Lashon Yishalmi, could it be? It's like Tema. V'aksiv, doesn't the Torah say, V'avarta shofar trua b'chodesh hashmi? On what day do we blast? On what calendar date do we blast the shofar to initiate Yovel? On Yom Kippur, which is what day of the month? The 10th of the month. So it's impossible then to maintain that Yovel is kicked off, pardon the phrase tonight, by Aleph Tishrei. It couldn't be possible. It would have to be the 10th of Tishrei. And the Gemara gives the following answer. In the name of Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yitzchak, Kidei, you might want to underline these words in the fourth line of your Yud Beis. Kidei sheyu kol chodshei hashana shavin, v'lo yei chodesh echad nechlak l'shtei shonim. The Gemara Yerushalmi applies what seems to be an absolute rule with regard to Rosh Hashanah and with regard to the relationship between a month and a year. And what is the Yerushalmi establishing now?
One month, 2 years.
You can't split a month into two. A month is a package unity. It's a deal. It's a package deal. It belongs to either this year or next year. Therefore, it's impossible to postulate that Yovel is kicked off by the 10th of Tishrei. Because if that be the case, then the first 10 days of the month of Tishrei belong to the 49th year. And the next 20 days or whatever of Chodesh Tishrei belong to the 50th year. So you're splitting one month into two different years. On both sides. Isn't there a month that's split into 2 years?
According to
whom? Okay, according to Beis Hillel. Because according to Beis Hillel, Shvat is split into 2 years. Take a look. Beautiful kasha. I'm so impressed by this kasha. The Gemara says, V'atninan b'echad v'shvat rashonu l'ilan k'direi Beis Shammai Beis Hillel omrim b'chamisha sarbo. Hare ein kol chodshi hashana shavim v'chodesh echad nechol k'lishtei shodim. Bishlema says the Yerushalmi. Again, Yerushalmi is a little hard to read.
Yerushalmi brings us Atasha and Rabbi Yonah.
Correct. But Rabosai, why is this Yerushalmi a raya against the definition that the Turi Evan is operating with. Again, the Turi Evan, okay, hold on to this Yerushalmi. Again, the Yerushalmi sees the issue of Beis Hillel Beit Shammai in the light of the principle of Ein Chodesh Echad Nechlak L'Shtei Shon, meaning that there's an implied accusation, so to speak, or maybe it's a raya. Again, I'm not getting into that. That Beis Hillel is splitting 1 month into 2 different years. Bishleim according to Beit Shammai, it's 1 month that belongs to the new year from Al Shvat on. Let's go back now to the Turi Evan. The Turi Evan, which again you'll see on page 2, says the following. He says Ulefi Zeh. This is number Tesvav on page 2, and you count down, if you will, to the 5th line. Ulefi Zeh Rosh Hashanah LeIlon Nami Tishrehu. According to the logic of which rains were responsible for this fruit that reached Kanata, then when is Rosh Hashanah Lilanos? Tishrei. Kmo Tvuah V'Zeisim. Ushvat. Here's Yaakov, your term. Gili Milsa B'Almahu. Dechanutim Kodim Lo Al Gishmei. Shana Shalifnei Tishrei. Nu, if we accept this Turi Evan, that means that when is Rosh Hashanah Li'ilon? Aleph Tishrei, and Shvat is only a Gili Milsa, then doesn't the Yerushalmi sound very odd?
Should be concerned.
We're not splitting 1 month into 2 years. Shvat belongs to the new year. It's post Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. Rosh Hashanah Lilanos Aleph Tishrei. I hate to break the news to you, but Rosh Hashanah Lilanos is Aleph Tishrei. That's what the Turi Evan says. Narvas, you can ask me, so if Rosh Hashanah Lilanos is Aleph Tishrei, what's this whole discussion about Shvat about? The answer is Shvat is only a Gili Milsa. It's just a technicality. According to Beit Shammai, when you see Chanata by Aleph Shvat, you know that it's that the 4 months that preceded it, that means the post Rosh Hashanah rains, were sufficient to be responsible for this Chanata. Comes along Beis Hillel and they disagree. He says we need another 2 weeks of rains to get a more of an ample amount of rain to set up Chanata. And only after Tu B'Shvat, then I know that Chanata is a Gili Milsa, reveals to me that this fruit will grow from the new year's rains. But the new year is clearly determined and set by Aleph Tishrei. So if that be the case, why does the Gemara use Beis Hillel Beit Shammai as a proof or a disproof to the principle of Ein Chodesh Echad Nech L'Shtei Chalakim? The Rosh Hashanah is Aleph Tishrei. It's clear. Now, where does the Turi Evan come up with this Chiddush? I mean, again, it's one day in the Yerushalmi, but in the Bavli, it's not indicated. To say that Aleph Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah Lilanos, L'chora, at the face of it, is not indicated in the Bavli. Again, it's the second day in the Yerushalmi. I believe that the source for the Turi Evan, although he doesn't quote it, to my surprise, is the Ran. Take a look at the Ran on page 2, number Yudalit. And the Ran says, the Ran gives this whole presentation to try to explain Shvat. Why is Shvat Rosh Hashanah Lilanos? What relationship does Shvat have to Ilanos, the Paris of Yuhi? He says the following. And I underline that what I think is, again, if we had more time, we'll go through the entire Ran, but what I think is the punchline. The Ran says, Kol Shuchonet, any fruit that reaches Chanot Bein Tishrei L'Tu B'Shvat, Hainu Machmas Yenikas Mayim Shelifnei Rosh Hashanah. Isn't that the Yerushalmi? In other words, I believe that the Turi Evan is standing on the shoulders of the Ran. And the Ran apparently adopted the view of the Yerushalmi, that second view, that basically what Shvat is the Gili Milsa, to figure out the anika, the nourishment of water, the moisture in this fruit when it reached Chanata, was it from last year's rains or this year's rains? Pre-Rosh Hashanah or post-Rosh Hashanah, but he's operating with the same old Rosh Hashanah Lilanos, namely Aleph Tishrei. But if that be the case, then we're left with all Akashas. We had 3 kashas. Let's review them quickly. Number one, the Mishnah beginning Rosh Hashanah says that Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. Number two, Esrog is Hazlir Basa Lakita. It means that Esrog doesn't have this phenomenon, this unusual phenomenon of Chanata. Chanata is totally inapplicable to Esrog. So why would Rosh Hashanah Lilanos of Shvat apply in the case of Esrog? And number three, why does Yerushalmi use the machlokas between Beisil Beit Shammai to determine whether he could split 1 month into 2 years? We're not splitting Shvat into 2 years. Because Shvat is just a Gilui Milsa. What I'm going to try to do for the allotted time that I have is to try to present the Shitas HaTosfos. And as Akdama, I want to go back to the first day of the Yerushalmi. Where do we find the first day of the Yerushalmi? Not only in the Yerushalmi, but where else? In the Bavli, correct? That's what we started with. The Bavli reflects only this one opinion. And that's, again, the number Vav. On page 1, let's just see it again. Bechad b'shvat Rosh Hashanah Lila Maitaima. Amarab Elazar, Amarab Oshia, Ho v'yotzu rov gishmei shana. It would seem that the Bavli, as opposed to Yerushalmi, has a halacha of Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. Meaning, Echad b'shvat or Tu b'shvat is Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. So you'll ask me, what's unique about that date? I mean, the Torah doesn't say anything about Shvat. Why does the hatchet fall here? And the answer is because there's a phenomenon in nature, again in Eretz Yisrael, of Rov Gishmei Shana. I can point my finger at a certain calendar date, depends which date, but it's in Shvat for sure. And what's unique about that calendar date is that there's a new season. You know, we've reached... A certain pinnacle. What word am I looking for? A certain point in the calendar year in which Rov Gishmei Shana. So the Rov Gishmei Shana have fallen. Now we're ready for a new year. So therefore, all the kashas that we asked, that the Turi Evan asked, are only relevant if you go with the Yerushalmi. And the Turi Evan, I think, would claim that the Ran reflects that sheet in the Yerushalmi. That Tu B'Shvat is only a Gili Milsa. But if we go with the Bavli, then the Bavli is looking for an answer to the question, why is Shvat Rosh Hashanah? And the answer is, because there's something unique about Shvat. It's not just a Gili Milsa. It's something inherent in that period of time. Perhaps we should now see what the sheet of Tosfos is. So here I want you to look at Tosfos on Daf Yud Dalet in Rosh Hashanah, which if you have page 1, I'm sorry, if you have page 3, it's number Yud Zayin. So the Gemara says, Echad b'shvat maitaima. Okay, we saw the Bavli, and Tosfos expands on. Even though the Gemara asks my taima on Echad B'Shvat, but he says it's Lav Davka. Basically, the my taima and the answer, the Bavli, is the same for both Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. Just he only mentions Beit Shammai. Dilamar, according to one opinion, this is Beit Shammai, Zman chanitosa shall gishmei shana zu be echad b'shvat. Ulamar, and according to Beis Hillel, be tu b'shvat. So if I would stop here in Tosfos, and keep in mind that Tosfos is explaining this sugya in the Yerushalmi, Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Dalet, I would say that Tosfos is talking about some sort of meteorological phenomenon that's inherent in this date, and he's setting up a Rosh Hashanah. The way we explained it. But look at the next line in Tosfos. Says Tosfos, V'chol hachinutim kodem zman hazeh, any chanota that took place before al shvat, or tu b'shvat, le'markinisle, hainu al gishmei shana shelifnei tishrei. Guess what? What svara is Tosfos working with? What definition of shvat is Tosfos operating with? Namely, Gili Milsa. He's back to Gili Milsa. And here I'm in trouble. Because now it's not only the Ran, and not only the second day in the Yerushalmi, but it's also, and the Turi Evan, and all the three caches of, you know, collapse on our heads. In addition to that, it seems to be Shitas HaTosfos. Because Tosfos is saying that it all goes back to Gishmei Shana Shalifnei Tishrei. He's mentioning Tishrei, meaning that Tishrei is the true, genuine Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. And I think the Mepharshim in Tosfos really learned this pshat. I mean, the Turi Evan. But Lefi Aniyus Daiti, you can't stop there. That's it's not fair to read half of Tosfos. Let's read the second half of Tosfos. And I think we could try to put this together. V'hadlo azil bi'ilonos basar tishrei kemo b'shlish b'tvua. After all, we have halach of havah shlish. And that applies to tvua. And when is Rosh Hashanah for tvua? Tishrei. Why not apply the same thing to Peros HaElon? And the answer is Mishum de Darshinam Li El. And here he quotes a sugya on Daf Yud. Pa'amim Sheberviyas Vadayin Asura Mishum O. Now there's something very strange here in this Tosas at the face of it. On the one hand, Tosas looks at the sugya on Daf Yud Dalit, my time up, and Tosas answers that Chanota is going to tell me something about Gishmei Shana Shalifnei Tishrei. Good, so now we've answered that question. All of a sudden, Tosas turns around and he asks a question. He seems to be going backwards, retreating, and he says, but wait a minute, why not Aleph Tishrei? And where do we see Aleph Tishrei? With regard, for example, to Tvua, has halacha b'avos shlish, and Tosas wants to apply that principle of Aleph Tishrei to Peros HaElon. I mean, we just finished saying the whole shtickel Torah over here that explains Shvat. So why is Tosas backtracking? And not only that, it's very strange. Tosas points us to the direction of the sugya Daf Yud. Right, immediately we'll take a look at Daf Yud, and that should be, I think, on page 1. And the Gemara on Daf Yud is quoting a drasha. But you just finished saying a svara. The Gemara said my taima, and the Gemara didn't quote any drashas. So why is Tosfos stretching his arm out to a drasha? In other words, my question is, what's this v'hadlo azil bilanos basar tishrei kamo shlish b'tvua? You've just given me an independent, self-sufficient svara to explain how Shvat operates with Chanot and everything. And now all of a sudden you look for a drasha? It doesn't make sense. Let's see what the drasha is, for instance, so we know what Tosfos is referring to. This is number Beis on page 1. Peros netia zu asurim ad chamisha sar v'shvat im li arla arla im lirvai lirvai. The halach of Peros HaElon is relevant not just to Maisers, as we spoke about before, whether it's the second year and it's Maiser Sheni, or it's the third year Maiser Ani. It's also relevant to Arla and Rivai. So Peros HaElon, for the first 3 years of the produce of the tree, come under the Yisur Arla. That's Yisur HaNoah. In the fourth year, the Peros HaElon have a din of Rivai. What do you do with Rivai? Excellent. You bring it to Yerushalayim. It has the identical halacha as what? As Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni and Rivai are exactly identical. So now, the Gemara postulates that you're in the fourth year. You've passed Aleph Tishrei, entered into the fourth year, and it's still Arla. Or you passed into the fifth year, passed Aleph Tishrei, and it's still Rivai. Pa'amim, Asurim, Peros Netiyazu Asurim Achamish So B'Shvat, Liarla, Lervai. Minani Mili, Amar Ab Chiyo Bar Abba, Amar Ab Yochanan, Umatu be mishmei derav yanai. Amar kro. Pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim in the Parshas of Arla. Ubishana harevius. Ubishana chamishes. This pasuk is a pella. It doesn't make any sense. We know that Ravai, excuse me, that Arla is how many years? 3 years. We know that Ravai extends into the fourth year. But we never heard of the fourth year and the fifth year. What's the fourth year and the fifth year? Says the Gemara in the name of Reb Chiya, Pa'amim Sheberevius. You can have fruits in the fourth year. Vadayin Asur Mishum Arla. Why are these fruits in the fourth year, Arla? Because when did these fruits reach Chanata? They reach Chanata before Tu Bishvat. So you're already in the 4 month period of the fourth year. You've passed Alef Tishrei, and yet these fruits belong to the third year, and they still have a din of Arla because you haven't gotten up to Shvat yet. They reach Chanata before Shvat. Pa'amim Shebechamishes. You've already entered into the fifth year when it's no longer a Vai Lachora. You've passed Alef Tishrei. Vaday Nasur Mishum Revai. Why? Because they reach Chanata before Shvat of the fourth, of the fifth year. If they reach Chanata before Shvat of the fifth year, they belong to which year? To the fourth year, and they are also Mishum. I mean, it's not really also, it's Kedushas Netar Revai. Okay, so that's the sugya over there. What I would like to suggest, getting back to our Tosfos, which is on Daf Yud Dalet, again, number Yud Zayin on page 3, is the following. Tosfos knows that we've got to find a source in the Torah for Rosh Hashanah Lilas. There's no reason under the sun why the normal halacha that applies straight across Zeroyim, it cuts through the cross section of Zeroyim from beginning to end, of Rosh Hashanah being Aleph Tishrei, shouldn't apply to Peres Eilon. Why not set up Peres Eilon with the din of Avashlish, wait till it grows, and then at that point, when it reaches its growth, we'll figure out, did it reach that point before Aleph Tishrei or after Aleph Tishrei? Exactly what we do to Tefuah. So if you want to determine, you want to be Koveh the Shnas HaPeros, why not use Aleph Tishrei with the halacha of Havashlish? Just like we do for Tefuah in Maestros, and we say the Tefuah is Nikba by Havashlish of Aleph Tishrei. What's the basis for this breakthrough that there's a new Rosh Hashanah Lilanos? That's what Tosfos wants to know. Once you have a source in the Torah for Rosh Hashanah Lilanos, then what question should you ask? Again, let's say I can show you in the Torah that Peres Eilon has its own Rosh Hashanah. It's not Alef Tishrei. Then what question are you going to ask? So when is it? If you know it's not Alef Tishrei, so when is Rosh Hashanah? So Tosfos says that we have to combine two different sugyas. The sugya Daf Yud, which is, as I would say, the breakthrough, the foundation, together with the sugya Daf Yud Daled. And there's a piggyback over. Tosfos is piggybacking the sugya on Daf Yud Daled on the shoulders of the sugya Daf Yud. The sugya Daf Yud is seeking a source in the Torah for a new Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. The old Rosh Hashanah of Aleph Tishrei doesn't operate with regard to Peres Eilon. Where's the source for it? Vinani Mili. And the answer is B'shana HaRevius U'B'shana HaChemishes. In the parish of Arla, we've already determined that there's a new Rosh Hashanah. Because if it's the old Rosh Hashanah of Aleph Tishrei, then it's not Shana Revius, Shana Chavishes. If the halach of Peres Eilon is that it has its own Rosh Hashanah, and with regard to Arla and Revai, then it makes sense, says Tosfos, that Peres Eilon straight through, not only with regard to Arla and Revai, should have a new Rosh Hashanah. That means Legabi Maestros, Legabi Shemitah. You've got a new Arla is the breakthrough. That sets up the framework. There's a new Rosh Hashanah. That's the Sugya Dafyut. The old Rosh Hashanah of Aleph Tishrei just doesn't operate with regard to Peres Eilon. Not in Arla, not in Revai, not in Maestros, not in Shemitah. However, we need the Sugya Dafyut. The Sugya Daf Yud Daled asks my taima. This is a whole different question. Not me, not Yimili, but my taima. My taima what? My taima Shvat. You've established a new Rosh Hashanah. You've proven that based on the parish of all. But why Shvat? There are 12 months in the year. The answer is that the Chanata that establishes the potential of this fruit to grow is clinched in Shvat. If the Chanata took place before Shvat, it belongs to a different year. If it takes place in the new year, meaning after Shvat, then it belongs to the new year. In other words, what the Gemara is trying to do is piggyback the Svara on top of the Jerusha. The Jerusha is the major breakthrough that gives me an origin, a source of the Torah for a substitute Rosh Hashanah, the old Rosh Hashanah Litvua, Lekidnius Leorakus, for whatnot, of Aleph Tishrei, no longer applies to Peres Elon. Haraya, you can have Arl in the fourth year, you can have Netarevai in the fifth year. So we've already had the breakthrough that the year, which starts in Aleph Tishrei and ends in Aleph Tishrei, doesn't hold water with regard to Peres Elon and Arla and Revai. If we expand that to all the Dinim of Zroim with regard to Peres Elon, then we know that Aleph Tishrei is no longer relevant. We've got to find a substitute, Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. But then we have to rack our brains and figure out the Torah didn't reveal to us when is Rosh Hashanah Lilanos? Which month is it in? That's what the Gemara wants to know. And Basil Beit Shammai are arguing in a prat within this klal to answer the question logically, when does the new year begin as far as Ilanos is concerned? If that be the case, then if we go back and reread the first part of the Tosis, what we'll see is that Tosis is explaining that Basil Beit Shammai are arguing about this detail, but really fundamentally what they want to do is set up a calendar date somewhere in the 12 months of the year which could serve the role of when is Rosh Hashanah Lilanos? And the answer is because at this particular point, Rov Gishmei Shana have fallen, Chanata has been clinched by the rains of this year. So it makes sense that already at this date, when most of the rains have fallen, and the tree can now produce, that's called Chanata, that's when the new year starts. So it's a Svara that piggybacks on a Drasha. And we integrate the two.
Despite the fact that it is a Gilui Milsa, since the Drasha already threw out Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Lilanos, so... that machlokas in
what I'm suggesting, Yossi, is that Tosis is not operating with Gili Milsa.
So what's the
Tosis doesn't have Gili Milsa. Gili Milsa means Rosh Hashanah is Aleph Tishrei. We have to figure out whether this is before Aleph Tishrei or after. No, that's not the Turi Evan. I'm sorry, that's not the Shitsa Tosis. Excuse me, that's the Turi Evan. Shitsa Tosis is that there's a new Rosh Hashanah Lilanos, and what is it? Shvat. What's the source in the Torah for the new Rosh Hashanah of the Peres Elon? Arla, Peshana Revias, Peshana Chamishas. Why Shvat? Rack your brains, come up with the Svara. So the Svara about the rains and when they fell and which rains fell and so forth and so on, that's only going to operate to give me a certain date. Here's where the hatchet falls. This is the day of Rosh Hashanah Ilanos. What do I gain by this? I answer up all the caches that we asked before. All the Turi Evan's caches go down the tubes. Turi Evan wants to know why does the mission open up with Aleph Tishrei, Aleph Shvat, Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. The answer is because Aleph Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. You ask me the question, why is Esrog, which is Basa Lakita, dependent upon Aleph Shvat, or Tu B'Shvat? The answer is because it's a new Rosh Hashanah Peres Elon. What you can do is you can substitute Lakita for Chanata, but it doesn't matter because you have now, you've generated now and established a new Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. Once the new Rosh Hashanah Lilanos emerges, then it applies to all Peres Elon. We're not going to make a difference between Esrog and the other Peros. What we're going to say, you want to be Koveya, this Esrog, does it belong to last year or this year? So that all depends upon Shvat. And we're going to use Lakita to be Koveya, the Shnas Ha-esrog, because of the nature of the gidul of an esrog. Basar kol mayim, it's like yirakos. But you're not going to tell me that now we're going to go back to Aleph Tishrei as the Turi Evan would have it, Why not? Because you have a new Rosh Hashanah. Aleph Tishrei is irrelevant with regard to Paris Elon. And if that be the case, I understand beautifully the Yerushalmi's discussion about whether you can take a month and split it into two different years, because now that you've generated a new Rosh Hashanah Lilanos, now we understand that Beis Hillel seems to be splitting 1 month into two different years, and Beis Shammai is not.
So once again, the first line in Tosos of Achol Afad Nutim Kodem Zman Azeh Einu Akishmi Shana Shalpni Tishrei. So
he's not using Tishrei as the Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. He's just using Tishrei as a method of determining why Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. Since we know that the Chanata that takes place before Shvat is a result of last year's rains, because not enough rains have fallen down, it makes sense that Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. It would be unfair to say that Tosfos is saying, like the Ran and like the Turi Evan understood it, that this halacha of Rov Gishmei Shana, again in the Bavli, his first day in Shabbat, is operating with Gili Milsa. It doesn't make any sense, because if it's Gili Milsa, then what's the next cash of Tosfos? V'hada Azil Bilanos Pasa Tishrei. V'hada Lo Azil, excuse me, Bilanos Pasa Tishrei. We are going Pasa Tishrei. We're just operating with a Gili Milsa. What was Tosfos' catch? That's my claim. My claim to fame. I'm saying, V'hada Lo Azil Bilanos Pasa Tishrei. And he quotes the halacha of Tvuah. We are going Pasa Tishrei. That's why I thought Tosfos was looking for a new Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. And he points very beautifully to the Sugya in Arla. The breakthrough, as far as the Torah is concerned, of establishing a new Rosh Hashanah Lilanos is found in the Parsha of Arla. And then we spread it out to apply to all Dinei Zeroyim with regard to Peres Elon. I'll just tell you a quick story and then we'll end it. They say about the Chidush HaRim. His name was Rav Yitzchak Meir. He was the first Rebbe of Gur, that he was once visiting Kotsk. And the Kotsk Rebbe, and it was Tu B'Shvat, so the Kotsk Rebbe said to him, Zogatis, you know, say a little Torah. So the Chidush HaRim said an unbelievable pilpul. I hope he was saying this Torah, I don't know, on Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. And the Kotsk Rebbe said to him, you should know that this pilpul that you told me is wonderful for chutzlot, but in Eretz Yisrael, it's not troshes, it's not filpulim, it's lamaisa. So yiratzon, we should be zocha to really be mekayim in the mitzvahs of Zeroyim, lamaisa in Eretz Yisrael, in Erev Yom Kippur.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good. Thank you so much for coming.